Good morning. Good morning. Hello, my friends. Hello, fellow insomniacs. How art thou? I as hopeth thou arteth greateth. Apparently my hat's dirty. Hey, listen, it's Monday night. Technically Tuesday morning. I always am excited when I see you Monday, because that means that the mail will come. So, you know, pretty cool. And today I got my tax return. I'm not saying we're going to buy a car, but I'm telling you this much, there will be ice cream this week. Yeah. I know we were allowed to hold off on filing taxes, but I didn't. We knew that we were going to need some help. Anyway, when you have a half a year of gigs kind of cancel and move around, you know you need a good accountant. So, anyway, so we got our taxes done. Because it was almost like, I wonder what we'll do today. Oh, there's nothing. So, let's go ahead and do our taxes. I mean, there's not even a reason to put off taxes now. Like, you know, I got to put off taxes because I got to go to work. At this point, it's like, I guess I'll go do taxes, because if I don't, I'm going to go crazy. So that was good. But I still haven't seen a stimulus check from the government. What I think is that the government doesn't want me stimulated. There's so many inappropriate and awkward jokes that I want to say right now. I just want you to know that. But I am implementing a virtue that's called temperance, because I don't want to make somebody angry out there. Anyway, so I can officially announce this right now. Pretty cool. I can officially announce this. By the way, shout out, welcome to Melissa. Thanks for tuning in. So, you're so faithful. Chris Baker, thanks so much for being here again, man. Jennifer, I want you to know I mentioned your dad the other night. I don't think you were on. I wanted to touch base with you because didn't your dad, wasn't he also the wrestling coach too? Because for a small brief period of time, I took and did wrestling. And it was extremely brief. Not only was it brief in terms of my time as a wrestler, it was brief as my time actually wrestling. I lost so much weight, I thought I was going to basically, I became Flat Stanley is what I'm saying, ultimately. Joan, thanks for tuning in. Good to see you. No, you know what? It didn't have anything to do with our taxes. They said that the stimulus check was just going to happen, and it would have been based on last year's taxes. But we did do our taxes this year, so whatever. The thing is, I don't have direct deposit, so they have to mail the check, and that was just going to delay any stimulus. So, of course, Isaiah, good to see you, brother. Hope you're well. Kathy, thanks for tuning in tonight. Look, the other night I did it. I did the live of Insomniac, and I for some reason I must have swiped the screen wrong, and I couldn't see any of the comments. And literally the entire time I thought, basically everybody hates this. Nobody's here. I suck. So, but then I realized, oh wait a minute, I'm just an idiot with technology, and I touched the screen, and all the comments were not even visible to me. So, anyway, thanks everybody who watched last night. Somebody brought up something very sweet. They said, did you show an Ella picture? And I had not, because I had done a brief one that I kind of spent time ranting quite a bit about some things. And so tonight I have a few pictures for my kids I'm going to share with you, so that it'll be good. So 19 years, Jennifer. So obviously, yeah, my philosophy when it was all said and done, my philosophy is I think that if you want to do wrestling, that you should just get as fat as humanly possible. Because while everybody else stronger than you is trying to lose weight, if you gain weight, then all you have to do is roll on top of people and you can win. I don't know if it's a proven strategy, but it's one that I didn't try. So anyway, I got a lot of good stuff tonight I want to talk about. I want to show you a couple things. And but I'm going to shut off this heater because it's making some noise. So here's the other tragedy for tonight. We had a, it's not a tragedy, but we had to get our internet fixed. We've had horrible internet the last few nights. So as a result, we had to get a new router and all that good stuff. And this is my heater. So long story longer, basically Alexa won't work right now. She's all moody because she wants a new password. Okay, well, don't we all? Alexa, look at her. She's such a snot.
I'm having trouble connecting to the internet.
Alexa,
take a look at the help section in your Alexa app.
Alexa, stop arguing with me. Alexa, obey me.
I'm having trouble connecting to the internet. Take a look at the help section in your Alexa app.
Do you know what, Alexa? You can take a look. This relationship I have with Alexa is certainly far more tumultuous than I ever imagined it would be. Anyway, it's good to see you, Scott. Thanks for tuning in, Claw. Thanks for being here again tonight. So talk to Joe Hutmaker about his heavyweight sin. What did he do? It's like you just see me, like I'm getting so fat. Like basically, there is no weight category for where you're at, Chris. I'm sorry. Basically, what needs to happen right now is you need deal a meal because you're not going to be doing anything athletic. All right, so let me just turn the corner here. We're going to get things started. Welcome. Thanks so much for tuning into the Insomniac Insights. It's been a great day. And by great day, I mean I got a chance to go outside for a little bit and use my chainsaw. Basically, most of you don't know this, but I am addicted to a chainsaw. I have a very unhealthy relationship with my chainsaw. It's a love-hate relationship. And what I feel like as a general rule is that anything with technology or a small gas-powered motors, basically that they mock me, that they question my masculinity, right? And it was probably because years and years and years ago, I got Pinterest, okay? So take my man card, apparently. I thought, well, everybody else is doing Pinterest crap, I better do Pinterest too. So I did Pinterest. And at that moment, I'm pretty sure that any chance I had of growing a beard ceased. And I think my voice raised a little bit. I practically started menopause, and so I really, even though I never really did anything with it after the first week or two, I never really went near Pinterest. I didn't pin crap, but it's still, I go near an engine, and it's just like, you know, you're, there's nothing about you that's masculine enough for me to obey. Now, that's a very sexist thing to say, and I know that. And so I'm going to backpedal a little bit and just say there's a lot of women that are far more knowledgeable about small engines and mechanical work than I am. And to be honest, small children, even fetuses, probably have more knowledge of an engine than I do. I basically, what I'm trying to say is that I don't think we can blame Pinterest for the problems that I have with my facial hair and my inability to fix engines. Okay, now that we've cleared that up. Anyway, so I have this unhealthy relationship with my chainsaw. I love my chainsaw and I hate my chainsaw because I just want the chain to be sharp all the time, even when I accidentally start cutting dirt or rocks. To me, I've paid enough money for that chain to last far longer than it's lasting. And you could say, well, Chris, don't use the chainsaw on the dirt. What? Okay, I'll just stop obeying gravity. The problem is that on our property, we had a ton of trees cleared so we can make land for pasture. So if you haven't ever seen any of our Happy Place Homestead, basically videos, there we live on about 80 acres of pretty much entirely maple trees. And so, yeah, we could have a maple farm, basically. We should have a maple farm. The thing about this is that when they came in to clear the land, they basically put about five mountains of wood that over the last few years, I'll just go after and start using my chainsaw on, and we'll have wood for the winters. So it's so ideal. It's perfect. But we had built a permanent structure for our goats and our sheep. and a little potbelly pig. Her name's Diesel, okay? She's dealing with some gender identity, whatever. We didn't name her. Somebody else did. We got her. I put a video up today of Diesel. Diesel likes to bury deep into the hay to go to sleep. She's pretty funny. So anyway, long story longer, we built this permanent pasture kind of pen of sorts. And I don't know, maybe a quarter acre. It's not a lot, but it's kind of cool. But there's all this debris in there. And so we've been clearing it out so that we could have grass grow, okay? And I know some of you are like, I didn't tune in for this. Well, I'm not really sure why you tuned into this, because basically you're watching a person that probably needs to be on medication who's a little bit hyperactive and has nothing to do. So welcome to the rambling reality of Chris Padgett. But there's insights in the title. Moving on. So here we go. We're clearing out this stuff. And so the other day we thought, what's the best way to clear wood? One, you chop it, or chainsaw it so that you can have it for a fireplace. Two, you burn it. That's a great way to get rid of a whole bunch of debris. Or three, you can use a wood chipper and get rid of it. So we have a wood chipper, but small side note, it's buried in this lean-to area that I can't get to. Cause why? Cause there's a broken tractor. There's a tractor that's been broken since practically the day I bought it. And if you go to Happy Place Homestead and you watch the videos, you can see me have it working for about 30 seconds. And then it doesn't work anymore. It's not working now. You could say, well, Chris, why don't you get it to work? Well, we've talked about this already. I can't figure out how to make machines obey me. Okay? Okay. So we started burning. And of course, I put a video up of us burning, and it was contained. It's in a fence, okay? It's contained. We have rocks around it, and literally like 5 feet away is a freaking lake. And by lake, I mean small pond that we basically stretched out a bit. Okay. So of course, in our area, we have a burn restriction until the middle of May. And so if you got that one, but this is so the kid that would have tattletaled in school. You know it's true. It's the teacher, Chris is doing something in the back. I remember, this is a true story. Jennifer, I don't think you were in this class, but you could have been. I'm certain that you wouldn't have known why I got in trouble, but I was in the back with some of the guys. Probably Brad and Brian were near me. And I want to say it was Mrs. Redman teaching, but I don't think so. Mrs. Redman was the choir director, so I can't imagine that she was actually teaching this class, but it feels like it should have been her, could have been her. And so I'm going to guess I was in the seventh grade, and somehow or another, she was angry and grumpy, and I said to my friends next to me, now keep in mind, I'm probably like, I don't know, 13 or 14 at best, okay? And I said, because she's all grumpy and angry, I said, she probably needs to get laid or something like that. Well, she heard it, and I got sent to the principal's office, which if I remember right, the principal looked like Fred Flintstone. Jennifer, help me out here. I can't remember. But first of all, where did that come from? That idea that that's what she needed to cause her to relax. And secondly, I would have smacked the crap out of that kid. Let's go back to burning firewood. So anyway, we're burning crap the other day. And then we get somebody on Facebook that's like, no, you shouldn't be burning it because there's a burn ban in until mid-May. Well, okay. It's been raining like crazy. It's going to rain tonight. It's going to rain tomorrow. It's raining all the time. Okay. In addition, then we had snow all the time falling. We can barely get a fire to start in our fireplace, let alone outside. This is what I'm talking about with the government wanting to like micromanage every little weird thing. It's like, no, I don't think you can burn things until the middle of May. Because in the middle of May, right, what's going to make that better?
The only thing we can conclude is that maybe it has something to do with, you know, like if you burn something, then it's quite possible you'll warm up the atmosphere enough for the mosquitoes to come out a week early. And then basically we have to deal with their freaking, like, horrible plague-like reality. So I don't know. Jennifer, so you do remember that? You're telling me you remember that? So Jennifer, on this feed here, she has unfortunately far too many stories about me that she could probably tell. So I'm really glad that this is a safe space. But we went to school together when I lived in South Dakota. Claire, it's good to see you. Claire's coming in from from Canada. And then, of course, Clawberg's out on Long Island. Corona got people snitching. That's for real, dude. People are like, again, it's just this whole idea. Linda keeps, my wife keeps saying, basically, we're turning into, what does she call it? Something about during the French time, the reign of terror. That's what she says. She goes, if we're not careful, the way that people are acting and what's happening now, we could easily start finding ourselves near that kind of reign of terror mentality. It's like when the government turns people upon one another, that's when all hell breaks loose. So anyway, Long Island, how you doing? How you doing, Mike? LaGuardia, whatever. Chris, it's awesome to see you, my brother. Chris is an amazing bass player, if I recall right, Cleveland area, and some good people here. Hey, look, so we did some clearing, and today I went out and I got a chance to work a little bit more. And what's kind of cool is that I realized something. I should have just done this earlier. I taught my kids how to sharpen the chainsaw chain. I'm going to teach them how to put the chain on after it flies off when I hit something like the dirt or like the rocks. So I'm going to have them sharpen it. So I can just go from, I have two, I can just go from one chainsaw to the next. It's like having a guitar tech when you're in a rock and roll band. You just give the guitar to someone, say, I broke a string, take care of it. I will say this, once I saw this band, his name was Tony Palacio, and Tony played, I think it was, the band was called Guardian. It was a Christian rock and roll band, and I saw, my whole band and I watched this happen. It was unbelievable. He's playing the guitar, his string breaks, and while he continues to play the song, he changes the string. He doesn't stop playing, he keeps playing the song, and then changes the string. It actually was a pretty amazing moment. Like, he got a bit of an applause, I'll tell you that. It was pretty impressive. Moving on. Stella, thanks for tuning in. Yes, sir. Hey, I have a good friend of mine, Josh Blakesley. He popped on for a little bit last night. Today, we were texting each other, and we were texting because I sent him the lyrics to one of the Steve Miller Band songs, and I said to him something like, what do you think Steve Miller meant when, and then I gave this lyric, which is totally inappropriate, massively inappropriate. I'm telling you right now, that boy smoked a lot of pot, and his lyrics were very, very descript. And so we started texting back and forth some of these lyrics, and we were just laughing. And then I quoted a band I'm going to kind of talk about tonight, the lyrics from this band. I'm so mad that Alexa's not working right now, because maybe I can get Siri or somebody to play it. But anyway, the lyrics in this other band, which I'm going to play tonight, were a little bit like more than edgy. And I'm like, what do you think they meant by this? So anyway, long story short, we decided that we're going to do a podcast. He's going to come on our podcast. We have the Counting Route Report podcast that we put out. And I'm going to try to interview Josh tomorrow. Josh is an unbelievable musician. This guy is so talented. But he said that the Steve Miller Band was basically the whole soundtrack to all of his teenage years, which probably meant that he was probably all looped out on the wacky tacky taffy, the ganja. And isn't it interesting that we just celebrated 420? So glaucoma has been eliminated. That's what I feel like. You know, Denver should give us a report. No cases of glaucoma. It has been officially removed. We don't see any cases of glaucoma. Do you pick up? Are you picking up what I'm throwing down? You listening to me? All right. Anyway, moving on. I'm just gonna go right into the music now because we're already there. All right. We already made it. One of my all-time favorite bands ever in the history of rock and roll is a band called The Scorpions, all right? And I'm going to tell you this right now. The Scorpions were legit. Legit. So good. It's crazy. Sit. All right. It's a little risque, okay? Brace yourself. Now, this is one of their all-time famous songs. Everybody knows this song, Rock You Like a Hurricane, okay? But the lyrics in the song have nothing to do with a hurricane. That's what's so crazy. You think they're really into weather. But it's not. It's not. There is no weather information given whatsoever. I hope that you guys are okay. My family is sleeping, I think, so I think we're going to be okay. Plus, I'm downstairs in my office, and this, by the way, seriously. All right, long and the short of it is, I got exposed to this band. Nope. That's kind of a funny way to say it in light of half their lyrics. But I got introduced to their music when I was in high school, late high school. And first of all, I'll tell you what. Nobody asked. Nobody really cares. This is the kind of stuff that Josh and I would talk about, though. I think that the vocals for the Scorpions are phenomenal. Like, this guy's voice is still, like, kicking butt. Like, hardcore. Really good. And, you know, they're all senior adults. And basically probably need to be, you know, sitting in a wheelchair half the time. But they get out and they can still, like, crank it out. So, but what's interesting about this band was the more I listened to it, the more I kind of was hooked. Just the way his voice sounded. They're from Germany, so they have a little bit of an accent. The guitar playing's freaking amazing. And so I was just, like, so hardcore in when it came to the Scorpions. One of my all-time favorite bands. And anyway, like, this is a motivating band. So if you want to, like, work out or run or something like that, that's just kind of like, that's awesome. Do you know what it is, Scott? I'm going to tell you right now. The reason sometimes I cough is that we have a fireplace going constantly. So it's really dry in here. And I left my water over by the chair and the lights. So and this is part of the problem is that, you know, I used to do the rock and roll thing. I did the band for a long time, but I haven't been able to sing for a number of years and my voice is just shot. So if I'm speaking all the time at the events, it's really difficult now for me to do any type of concert. And so some of this is just connected to that. And I don't know if it's when I had the open heart surgery and they intubated and they basically scraped up my throat a bit, or if it's just because I had so much coffee and, you know, whatever. maybe it's just diet related, but I haven't really been able to sing for a number of years. And so it's been a little difficult, but my lungs are clear and I'm doing really well. And thanks be to God, I think we're all healthy here. Let me just do a couple more band stuff and then I'm just going to talk about some books and, I show you a couple pictures from the kids, and then I'll give you my little encouraging word for the night. So, here's another one. I have to tell you right now, I loved, still do, REO Speedwagon. Like, it's so good. REO Speedwagon was so, like, solid. Just incredible. All these guys are old now. Just old. We're all getting old. It's just crazy, man.
I'm going to give you one more. I'm going to give you two more. Here's another one. Bryan Adams. Do you remember Bryan Adams? I think in choir, speaking of Miss Redman, I think we sang a Bryan Adams song in, again, I don't know if this was seventh. This has got to be like seventh and eighth grade. But I think the song that we sang was Straight from the Heart. You say it's easy, but who's to say? Well, like, it's unbelievable the amount of hits this guy had. It was unbelievable. I still like his stuff. And I've seen him a little bit on YouTube, even as an older guy. And he can still kick it. It might be allergies, Mike. That's possible. Do I sound like the Scarecrow and the Tin Man now? Well, I mean, I suppose if I'm singing, I kind of do a little bit. But I don't think I can sing that aggressively. Some of those songs were pretty intense. And so the music that I write now is so much different. It's very different. And it's more prayerful. It's more kind of worshipy. And part of the reason is because Brad was the guy that wrote all the like awesome rock riffs. Or if I wrote a song, he'd like pump it up and make it a little bit more aggressive just because that was our live show. So, I mean, I sound like it. If I sang like You Are My Son, it would sound just like it, I suppose. But there were always some songs that were kind of hard for me to sing, even in the day when I was flowing and singing every day. But and there's no way I would ever sing them now. But anyway, REO Speedwagon, The Scorpions, Bryan Adams, and just one more, eh? I mentioned this the other day. Do you remember the Jay Giles Band? And the reason I remember this is that I remember hearing Centerfold by Jay Giles Band. I love that hook. Na 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 na. I remember being outside the pool area, the public pool in Chamberlain, South Dakota, and I heard that on the radio. I just remember that hook was so awesome. It was awesome. Anyway, Bill is on here, man. Bill, you know, dude. Bill plays the tunes. He's a professional DJ. He's legit. He does all sorts of stuff all over the world, I think. So, yeah, man. Music, it's kind of funny how all of us have these connections with certain bands and certain songs. And we've been talking about that kind of all last week, this idea that a song will take you back and help you remember where you were, the people in your life. Maybe it was a band that was special for you in a dating relationship or whatever. And it's just kind of funny. But I have noticed something about me, though, too, is that sometimes certain bands will blur. Like, I'll think a song is from a band that it's not. I'll tell you, here's my example. Do you remember that song, you know, Who Can It Be Now? I come from a land down under. Right. Everybody knows that's Men at Work. But it took forever just to, you know, really get it in my brain that it's not Duran Duran. I don't know why. I just felt like that should have been Duran Duran. But it's not. And actually, if you ever watch the TV show Scrubs, the lead singer for Men at Work did a couple like kind of solo, you know, songs on Scrubs. It was pretty awesome, actually. So I thought that was a very funny show. Probably because it was terribly inappropriate. And we're back to my inappropriate comment in seventh grade when I told my teacher she's probably grumpy because she needed to get some. So there's something wrong with me since I was a young boy. You went and saw Jay Giles Band. That's pretty awesome. One of your first concerts. I remember, do you know what's funny is that I remember going to the state fair. So I don't know where this was at. It was South Dakota State Fair or something like that. I don't know why I was there. I don't know how this happened, but do you know who was playing? Huey Lewis and the News, and he was crushing it. And we could have all gone there for free. And I for some reason, I thought that cannot possibly be the famous guy that has all these songs now. There's no way. But it was. Just once again, Chris Pageant missing out. Who knows what I did? It was probably something ridiculous. It was like, hey, let's go start a Pinterest account. Anyway,
Okay. Lots of cool music. Every night I like to bring up a little bit of a music memory lane. And usually my sidekick Alexa helps me, but she's being a snot tonight. Whatever. I'm going to talk about books for a second, then I want to give you the pictures. You're right. All right. So, small side note. How many of you out there watching The Last Dance? Did you watch the back-to-back episodes? There's a 10-part series about basically the Bulls and Michael Jordan, and it's flipping amazing. So I got like 6 minutes left in the. I mean, this is how committed I am to you. Not only did I stop the show mid-show to come on last night, but there's literally 6 minutes left in the second episode, and I stopped it to do this. You're welcome. All right, so I want to talk about books. I've mentioned this guy too many times already, but one of my guys that I love is this guy named Jim Butcher, and he basically is most known for a series called The Dresden Files. Harry Dresden, he's a he's a wizard and a detective type thing in Chicago. But there's 15 books out. Number 16 comes out very soon, and then 17. So he's doing two in this year coming out. We're super pumped. But when you're like super addicted to an author and like a series, you're like killing yourself practically waiting for the next one to come out. So there have been a number of spinoffs over the years, and I've not read any of this one, but it's the Iron Druid Chronicles, Kevin Hearn. I don't know if you guys have heard of this person, but hammered. That could have been basically our theme word for our senior year of high school. Well, not really me. I really wasn't a big drinker, but hounded, hammered. I think he gets off on the letter H. I'm just going out on a limb here. Let's see. I bet we can find out here. What's some of the other titles? Hexed, hunted. Okay. So anyway, somebody was raving about this book. So I, of course, folded under the pressure and I got it. I think one I got used and then the other I must have got it like a Barnes & Noble. I'll check it out. But it's just not going to compare. Because when you love something, it's impossible to find the exact same thing that can easily satisfy. It doesn't. Here's another example. This guy's name's Richard Kadrey, Sandman Slim. Now, I've read this book. I can't recommend this to anyone. But it's pretty good in terms of the genre, but it doesn't compare even to Jim Butcher. But he's got a lot of books out. So here's the thing with this Sandman Slim, or Richard. This whole scene is his kind of world is this idea that Sandman Slim is kind of betrayed and he has to bide his time down in hell and he has to work for this demon and I don't know, he tricks him out of something or another and he gets to come back on earth and it's just a bunch of weird malarkey. It's so theologically dysfunctional, it's unbelievable. But there is some similarities with kind of this character that reminded me a little bit of a Harry Dresden. But anyway, that's another. Here's another example is this guy named Benedict Jacka. And I've read a lot of his stuff. Benedict Jacka, he basically has come out with this series that is probably the most like the Harry Dresden stuff that I dig. But it still doesn't compare. So, but those are a few little books that I've read or that are on my list. It's a style, you know. I suppose I kind of like the idea. It's like, did you ever see the TV show Grimm? So that show was kind of fascinating because it was the idea of basically, the brothers Grimm, and it was this kind of family that would battle these monsters, and they would have these journals of how you dealt with them, and. But they were amongst us, these people, and you couldn't really tell. But the Grimm could tell because he could see their true nature. There's something really interesting about that whole idea of, like, seeing people as they really are, you know? Oddly enough, we kind of talked about that idea just a little bit when we talked about Padre Pio last night, just the fact that he could read souls, and he went in, and if you went in, he would know exactly what you needed to confess. It's kind of crazy, but anyway. So, long and the short of it is a little music, little books, little chainsaws, little Pinterest. Let's look at a couple pictures here. So my kids are, I save all of my kids' artwork, period. I mean, my wife probably would have gone through it all and gotten rid of it, but I don't. I keep it all. I'm a hoarder when it comes to my kids' art. I just love. So this is a book that is illustrated by two of my kids, Mary and Jude Paget, okay? And it just says Paget's Draws Book. I don't think they understand the possessive, you know, apostrophe here. I think they're having a few little issues. This is what I love, though. Do you see the shootout here and the red blood coming out of the back of someone? I don't know if this is a reenactment of Jesse James, but I think the person with that big gigantic gun is super happy. Do you see the smile on their face? And then the sadness of the person who's being shot. So that's precious. These are my children. They all are going to be needing counseling and therapy. This is hilarious. Have you seen this man? Wanted. What is this? Is his hands, is this an emo guy? Is this somebody in like the 90s, like emo band? I mean, I'm worried about him. This book is filled with a lot of weird crap and a lot of bullets. What the hell is going on up here? What is this? Oh, well, it's shooting obviously somebody out of the air. I don't think it gets much better. I think my son Noah, who's 20 now, drew this one. My kids are drawing a picture of him. It says Noah. Noah. I'm thinking that was Noah's. Here's my son Joe, some of his artwork. It looks like a thumb, basically. That's it. Nothing else. There's other stuff here, but I feel like I've tormented you enough. Part of this comes down to the fact that all of my kids have probably been, since they were little, exposed to, you know, kind of the world of art. My dad is an artist and was the chair of the art department for the University of Wisconsin for about, you know, the majority of his teaching career. And he still does work right now. Like, I have a number of coffee cups that he's done. This is some of his work. He does some really interesting pieces as well. Like, this is some of his stuff right here. So most of my childhood, when I would hang out with my father, we would go into the studio and he would basically get me some clay. And I would be taught how to spin on a wheel and to create things. And then we would put it into a kiln and then paint it and glaze it and all that good stuff, fire it up. It was kind of a cool experience. And really most of my childhood, I was around my father who was creating these very unique, expressive pieces of art. Like, here's an example right here of a sculpture. It's hard to see right there, but he does just all sorts of crazy stuff that I really have loved. And in some ways, art has been a big part of our conversation, my dad and I. So whenever my father would be visiting, he and his wife, Deborah, who's an amazing author and painter, they would always give my kids sketchbooks and encourage them to draw and to write and to basically be creative, which I always thought was such a beautiful, beautiful gift. And I think that's kind of what I want to talk about briefly is that, you know, You know, it's not an accident that I do what I do. All I have to do is look at my mother and my father, and I can tell you 100% why I am the way I am. My mother started taking me to church when I was a little kid after my parents got divorced, and her tenacity in having faith a real part of our life was poured into me. And she taught me Bible verses, and she taught me that Jesus wanted to have a relationship with me, and she taught me that following Jesus meant I should be baptized, and that going to church wasn't an option, like that you needed Christ, and that he gave us one another in the church to lean upon. And for her, it was real because she struggled and was alone, and she depended on people at the church to love her and help her in difficulties. And the reason I think I can attribute so much to my father is that his whole life was around the world of art and creativity. And it just was a constant push to me to look and see things bigger than what's in my immediate surroundings. And so when I would spend time with my father, he'd take me to art museums and to folk shows and to basically these huge outdoor fairs where people would be selling their homemade art, whether it was paintings or drawings, sketches or ceramics or glass that was blown. I mean, you name it. If they could do something creative with it, they were doing that. And I would be basically given the opportunity to look and see all these different ways that people could do art and to express something inside of them that wasn't so easy. And I think about this a lot because going to school, my best friends, Brad and Brian and Chamberlain, and before they lived with me in Valley City too, but they were the smartest people in my circle, and they always got straight A's, and they were very good. The teachers always got along with them, and here I am, this crazy kid who just kept saying inappropriate things and was looking at life way different than others. I couldn't hunt very well, and I couldn't endear myself to the adults and the teachers, and I certainly wasn't very athletic. And the only thing I kind of had for me was this weird sense of humor and just this propensity to look at life way different than other people. And what was fascinating for me during this time was just realizing that, well, I'm not really good with clay and ceramics like my father, and I'm not really that great with maybe writing like some other people I knew, but I loved stories, and I loved telling stories, and I loved making people laugh. Like, what if I did something like that? And I loved music. What if I explored music? What if I? And you know, what's been interesting to me about this is that I get the chance now to go all over the world and tell stories and make people laugh and talk about my faith and my family, which is just exactly like who I was back then, so long ago. And I think about this a little bit because there's so many kids out there that don't feel like they fit in. They don't feel like they fit into things properly. They can't fix, you know, engines. They're not starting on a varsity squad. They're not in a, you know, whatever. They're not fitting into all those categories. And all they maybe like to do is sit and write poetry or read stories and think of these crazy ideas if they could just film it. And I mean, there's this whole world of creativity that's out there, and so often it's not been applauded. You know, some of the programs that were cut right away are the programs that like initiate a propensity towards kind of nurturing and fostering a musical talent or a theatrical talent, and it just kind of goes away because sports are the most important and academics are the most important. But for me, you know, none of that was working. I had a heart condition as a kid. I was never allowed to play sports. I had a brain, but it was thinking different than everybody else's. And so I wasn't doing as great in school as other people. And I had this bizarre sense of humor that was just always in the way of, you know, of the ideal student. But this is what I think is so cool about God, is that God made us in a certain way. He made us in a certain way. And that's on purpose. And we have a mission, and your mission is different than my mission. And for a while, my mission allowed me to do a Christian rock band all over the world. But I have loved being a speaker and a comedian and just using my gifts and talents in this phase of my life. I'm going to end with this. Last night, I got to bed late. I always go to bed late. And I fell asleep. And this morning I woke up. And in my dream, I had this dream that was so interesting last night. And the dream, simply put, was me speaking to some leaders in ministry. And ultimately what I was trying to communicate was this simple idea that we all, feel called to do some sort of ministry. And ultimately I said, there's something that I can promise you and I'll say is 100% true for every single person I'll ever speak before. But I can also promise you that that not everybody will see it as that truth. And it's that relationship that we can have with God. And this is the phrase I ask people to repeat after me as I woke up. This is what I woke up to. You can't stop preaching the gospel. You can't stop preaching the gospel. Three times, you can't stop preaching the gospel. And that's what I woke up to this morning. And all day long, I've been thinking about that. And you know what the truth is that I love preaching the gospel because this story of who Jesus is and what he's done changed my life. This person changed my life. This person saw me as different than others and didn't reject me because I was more interested in listening to music than I was playing sports, or that I was more interested in telling stories than I was in whatever, learning about science. I wanted to find a place where I fit. And what's been awesome is that I fit perfect right next to the heart of Jesus. Like, that's where I belong. That's where I fit. And for all of you out there who do ministry, especially during this time, my encouragement to you is do not stop preaching the gospel. And what's the gospel? It's the good news of who Jesus is and what he's done. And what has he done in your life? Like, that's the story that you get to tell. What has God done in your life? If you do ministry, that is the story you have to tell. And that story is good news because your life was never the same. It was never the same because you met Jesus. And I have never been the same since I had that encounter with Christ. And I would never have met Christ like I did if it hadn't have been for my mother and if it hadn't have been for her tenacity in going to church. I mean, she had a million reasons to kind of give up and say, I can't. There's, my husband's left me. We're poor. I have to raise two kids by myself. It's too much. People are talking behind my back. But my mom, she just kind of said, no, we're going to church. And she changed my life because she introduced me to Jesus, which is the person that saw something in me that I never would have thought possible. I brought this up the other day and I'm thinking about it even now. Like, you're free to fail. And the reason we're free to fail is because Jesus is walking with us. He's the one who believes in us because he's given us those gifts and talents. So all my brothers and sisters out there who do ministry in some form and fashion, you can't stop preaching the gospel, especially now. Now more than ever, we can't. And all of you parents out there and people out there who don't, publicly do or hold a position of ministerial leadership, you are still called to be a preacher of that gospel. We're all called to be witnesses of who Jesus is and what he's done. First and foremost, to our kids, to our spouse, to the people that we have to interact with. So I'm leaving you with that. You can't stop preaching the gospel. And you know what? I'm not going to. If I never got paid another cent from people to come and speak, I still couldn't stop preaching the gospel. And as it turns out, 6 months of my gigs have pretty much vanished. So there's very little pay coming in for doing just that. But you know what though? This is who I am. So we'll do videos, we'll have fun, I'll tell jokes, I'll say things that'll probably make people feel uncomfortable. But when it's all said and done, I am all in, 100% in on my faith. And I love being a Catholic, and I love being a follower of Jesus. And if you want to know more about that, I would love to talk to you about it. So here's my pitch. I'm not manipulating you into anything. I'm not forcing you to do anything. But if you want to support what we're doing and you want to be a part of this mission, I have a Patreon account. Why am I doing Patreon? Because it's a monthly subscription. You can basically get some exclusive content for $10 a month, 20 bucks a month, whatever it is. There's a bunch of tiers. And all that ultimately does is if I can get enough people to support me there, then I'm going to just keep plowing forward, talking about God, trying to make people laugh, and I'm not going to have to worry about some basic things like electricity. But if you don't support me, I'm going to be just fine. So you pray for us, and that might be the miracle that I need the most. So if that's your gift, I want you to know how grateful I am. All right, I think I'm going to be done. I hate people talking about money. I hate feeling manipulated. So there's no way I want that to be the case here. And I'm just simply leaving that as a small option. If you do ministry and you're wanting to do more ministry with your kids, I have created some programs that you can get from me. So if you want to send me a note about that, I connected it to Patreon, but we can work something out. So you talk to me if you want something like that. All right. God bless you. I love you all. Lord willing, I'll see you tomorrow.